should I use my radio voice or should I use, like Bruce Buffer? Oh, like Bruce Buffer? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, across the screen is soon to be, I will not say it, but Adam. And I'm your host, Mike. And we're coming to you live this day on September 29th, a little after 1 p.m. Pacific time, or Arizona time because we don't change it. But we got some topic to discuss about courage and wusses, so to speak, and courageous leadership and all that stuff. So, anywho, welcome to Thin Line Believers podcast. If you're watching us, thank you. If you're listening to us, thank you. Like and subscribe before I forget. And we'll try to say that at the end. So we're here to encourage the body of believers, especially those that wear the badge, whether you're a cop or a firefighter, military, some sort of first responder. That's why we are called Thin Line Believers. It's the thin line. And we're a bunch of believers saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'll hand it over to Adam. Sorry for the delay, ladies and gentlemen. We had a
Goodness.
technical difficulty.
It's always on my end, though. Always on my end. Darn echo. Okay, so let's get into this. Let's figure out what we're going to talk about here, because I came in here a little bit fired up. A couple of reasons. One has to do with some of my reading today. So I took some time, went and sat in the barn because it's nice and quiet out there, and got into Mark. Now, it's a little, I don't know, prequel or whatever. Give you a little background as to why I want to talk about this topic of bravery or cowardice. So, I got to go to an event here recently and share some, our apparel, the podcast with some folks, and come to find out there's some other believers there. And these believers are in law enforcement, and they work within a particular area that, well, you should be pretty familiar with this, Mike. They're very anti-Christian, right? And so, and I'm just assuming this part, but I assume that that is affecting promotion opportunities, special assignment opportunities, things like that, right? And so what they've really done is they have forced those who are believers to really be extremely private with their beliefs. It makes it hard. It does. It makes it really hard to be a believer. And these guys are not cowards, okay? That has nothing to do with the topic of this. What they do is not cowardice. What they do is they do the best that they can while still being able to provide for their families. But I think outside of work, there's got to be guys like you and me, guys within their department that really need to start praying for that atmosphere to change and for God to really intervene where they're at. But outside of that, there is a real cowardice in Christianity in the West right now. And I say that because I was listening to Jordan Peterson interview a guy, and I can't even remember his name. I just told you what it was. But you probably won't
Peterson.
remember.
But you keep going, I'll bring it up.
Anyway, so he's interviewing this guy, Keith something. Keeter, I don't know. I got it right here. Dr. Peter Kreeft, if I'm pronouncing it correct, I'm not sure. But the guy's an apologist, and what an apologist, apologia means to give an answer. So this is somebody who would debate their faith, and he's a Christian guy. But he's done some studies on various different faiths, and I don't remember the question that was presented to him, but his response was in regard to Western Christianity, and he talked about how. And he used different words, bigger words, smarter words than I'm going to use. But he talked about the kind of like the cowardice or the lack of bravery and courage within the Western faith. But he was comparing it to Islam, which, he prefaced by saying that, you know, Islam is misguided. They believe in a false god and all these things. But he's, you know, he said that what you have to, you got to give it to these Muslims, because one thing they are not is cowards. They are, they're extremely brave regarding what they believe, but albeit misguided, right? And so I think that we have a real lack of courage in the Western Christianity. And so in my reading today, I got into Mark chapter 4. And I'll just get into a little bit of this first part here. I do think it's pertinent. It's not exactly what I wanted to talk about, but I do think it is pertinent. So Jesus is talking about, well, he's giving a parable, and this one's called the parable of the sower. And he's talking about how the sower scatters seeds, and where that seed lands, you know, the ground that it lands on has to do with faith, right? And so it has to do with the seed's ability to grow. So one seed, it falls along, you know, the path. It's hard ground. It doesn't take root. It's not able to grow. And Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples, because they ask him, hey, what does this mean? And so he said, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So that's the one that's sown along the wayside, right? These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Awesome. Good. But, and then they have no root in themselves, and so endure only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. There's a lot of it that happens, right? Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. This is the one that really caught my attention. These are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There's a lot of folks going to church right now who haven't encountered the persecution, who haven't encountered the things that would choke it out. And they're not quite rooted yet. The thorns may choke them out yet. And I want to pray for those folks for sure. But the world has a way of choking out the word and causing us to not be so courageous in our faith. And it's blatantly obvious to some people. And then it goes on to say, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And then it talks about a lamp. Said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? And is it not to be set on a lampstand? So as people of faith, we're not necessarily supposed to hide that. Now, you know, I get that there's things that can cause us to say, well, I got to support my family, right? I got to do this or that. But, you know, it's been asked, if Christianity suddenly became illegal, would there be enough evidence against you to have you convicted, right? If Christianity was illegal, would they be able to see enough of your faith to convict you? The word says that you'll know them by their fruit. Do you bear fruit? Can people tell, regardless of what you say, are you living a life that shows that you are indeed a person of faith? And Michael, I'll let you talk about the storm a little bit, because you sounded like you had some good insight on that one at the end of Mark here, but I'll let you take it away.
The one thing that Jesus promises in verse 35 and on, and I'll just kind of interject various thoughts. Jesus tells his disciples, we're going to pass over. there on the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. I led worship there on the Sea of Galilee. There's a lot of ships. And I guess the real question is, you know, with the parables, you know, is a lot of people go to church. A lot of people are call themselves Christians. And in the Gospels, and this is the scary part, and I'll throw this out to you as well, is remember they said, hey, we prophesied in your name, we did miracles in your name, and we did this in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So there is that knowing aspect, you know, like you were saying, hey, can you be convicted of being a Christian? I guess there, also to add to that is, does Jesus Christ know you by name? And you and I both know with kids, our kids know the voice of us, our voice, right? If you say something, your daughter and your son will respond to your voice because they know you. And I think a lot of people today that go to church, do they know the Lord? And so coming back to this portion of Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells his disciples, hey, we're going to pass over to the other side, right? And Jesus falls asleep on my pillow, and he's got my slippers on and whatnot.
Thank you, Mike Lindell.
Right? Well, this is the thing. You've got at least a part of the disciples that are professional fishermen that should know and ought to know what to do in a storm. And so storm arises, but this is not like a normal storm, right? Like Hurricane Ian in the East Coast. This is like a storm on a lake of all things, to the point where the fishermen don't fall on their training. They look to the Lord who's sleeping on my pillow. And there's two different pictures, right? One of peace and one of chaos. And I know, having taught this text in the past, that the word storm there is caused by Satan himself, right? And so, you know, before we started this podcast, you know, we talked about how you said, yeah, because he says, peace be still, or peace be muzzled. And something that I've learned is storms causes not only chaos, but it also causes clarity. Meaning storms will allow an opportunity for you to realize there's weaknesses in whatever home, car, armory that you have. Because water does one thing. It either is moving or it's stagnant. And water goes to its lowest point. And so our brothers and sisters that are experiencing this Hurricane Ian, Cat 4, they're realizing this body of water is moving in such a way that it went from inches to feet, right? And it's moving boats, it's moving cars, it's flooded fire engines, and water moves. If it doesn't move, it's stagnant. And something that is caused here in Mark chapter 4 is the fact that Jesus is sleeping. The disciples, this whole time, the boat's moving, right? And then there's a storm. Jesus promised we're going to pass over to the other side. I think a lot of people see the storm and they don't see the Lord. And because when you get to Mark chapter 5 verse 1, there's the man at the gatherings, right? So it's automatically, they're facing another trial. But sometimes there are storms that are caused by the enemy. There are storms, I think, that's caused by us. And in this situation in Mark chapter 4, obviously it was caused by the enemy. Mm-hmm. And remember, the disciples say, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Right? And we have to ask ourselves, well, why shouldn't they obey him? Because he's the creator of heaven and earth. And so I think the important takeaway for me is, I believe in Nahum is that God knows the names of his saints, mm-hmm. his people. And I'm sure you've heard this, and I've heard it multiple times, when you ask, oh, well, do you know the Lord? Well, yeah, of course I know the Lord. I go to church. And then you ask, well, does the Lord know you? And then there's like that pause. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, does the Lord know you by name? Do you know his voice? And at the same time, does the Lord know your voice? And I think in these last days, you know, the scamdemic, now we're going to get kicked off YouTube, but yeah,
way to go.
But this whole pandemic, scandemic. Oh, by the way, did you know that Dr. Fauci earned additional $5 million during this coronavirus ordeal?
No, I saw the headline, didn't open it up. So
yeah, but anyways.
Now I know.
So, but it's, you know, it's like a tea bag in a hot water. You never know what it's like until it's in hot water. And a lot of Christians took the back seat when it came to, you know, stepping up and being brave. You know, you brought up Muslims, right? We know they believe in a false God. We know. But like Jordan Peterson was mentioning, you know, there's one thing for sure is you cannot discredit their, I don't want to use the word bravery with them, but
how about zeal? Should we say zeal?
Zeal. Yeah. Zeal's good. But I mean, for example, when was it when the Crusaders, the Christian Crusaders, right? Are we going to be faced with that same music where we need to, where we're going to stand up for Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, for example, I don't know if you watched the interview with Dan Bongino where he interviewed an FBI agent, right? A whistleblower. And, you know, Dan Bongino is obviously a lot more involved in politics than you and I are. But he said something, anybody that was involved with the Mar-a-Lago raid needs to be fired. Right? They need to go. And I can agree with that. I think there was a lot of stuff that got done that is wrong. But there's a lot of us in the uniform, police or fire, when they ask you to take the jab, right? Now we're going to get kicked off for sure. You know, when they ask you to take the jab, they're like, oh, sure. Not knowing what was going on, right?
Hello.
Right? There's a lot of people now, after they've taken the first jab, they're like, yeah, I am not taking no more boosters or anything like that. There's a lot of regret. But there's a lot of people still to this day where agencies like, hey, if you don't take the vaccine, right, that you're going to get terminated. And you're like, wow, I only have like a year and a half left of, you know, before I retire, before I'm vested. Like, where do you draw the line?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you draw the line? It's like kids' sports. Now, what happened to first, second, and third? Now there's like fourth, fifth, all the way up to 10th. I was like, wait a minute. Is that gold, silver, and bronze? There's other places now?
Yeah.
And like, we're moving the goal line. And so, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is for freedom that you were set free. You know, it's been said that we're only one generation away from losing our liberties. We're always one generation away. And I am scared to death that that generation is my kids. Because I still have my freedoms now, for the most part. Right? We are still... we're still probably the freest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they're slowly going away. And Revelation says it's going to be that way. And that's why I thoroughly believe that we're living in those times. We're living in the generation that is probably going to see the rapture. That's my belief. But I don't. That's not the point of this. What I want to get across here is that, and I've said this so many times, this is not a weak faith, and it shouldn't be a weak faith, because throughout the Bible, if you think that we're supposed to sit back and be quiet, then you haven't read the whole Bible. If you think that it's all about kindness, you haven't read the Bible. You know what? Jesus was not real kind to the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. In fact, he knew exactly what buttons to push. So much so that they picked up stones to stone him on more than one occasion. He went into the temple. This is my favorite example. He went into the temple and threw over the tables in the temple. Like, this is a place that all Jews would be extremely timid in, because they didn't want the Pharisees to kick them out for any reason. Okay, in fact, when Jesus healed a blind man, his parents wouldn't even speak up about it because they didn't want to get kicked out of the temple. Because it says that if somebody had claimed that Jesus was the Christ, they would be expelled.
He was the original CrossFitter.
Yes, he was. So Jesus went in the temple and threw over these tables in front of everybody. And did anybody try to stop him? Apparently not. Apparently the guy with the whip was not somebody you wanted to mess with. But let's go back through the Old Testament here a little bit. So, Exodus. God kills the entire Egyptian army. The strongest army of the day. Let's see. Joshua. You know what? Joshua was a good one. In the very first verse of Joshua, the very first chapter of Joshua, I'm not sure how many times God said this, but he says, be strong and courageous. Probably half a dozen times to Joshua. So if you think there's a message to be taken from Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. And then they went out and they battled their way through Canaan into the promised land. God said in Exodus chapter 15, Moses wrote it down, God is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And then throughout the Old Testament, there's battle after war after war, and God shows up and defeats the enemy time and again. This is not a weak faith, and we don't serve a weak God. And it's not kind. Okay, God is the God of love, but without the God of justice, it's not real love. So we serve a God who is, he created poetry, he created music, he created kindness, all these amazing, wonderful things. He's a God of love. He's also a God of war and a God of justice. And he's not to be trifled with. That's the God that we serve. So there's got to be some balance here. And we have, I think, swung on this pendulum so far toward appeasing the world to try and win people to the faith that we have given up the justice side, the courageous side, the warrior side. And we desperately need that back, especially right now. The spiritual warfare going on in our world is like nothing that I've ever seen before.
Yeah, there's definitely a delusion taking place all around the world. But I mean, if you look at the American Christianity, the West, sad to say, for the longest time, I mean, you had these weak-looking T-shirts. I never wore Christian apparel because I thought they were just so cheeseball, you know. But now, lo and behold, there's more strong Christian apparel coming out, right? And, you know, there's that organization, Lions Not Sheep, whatever that is. And
he's a Mormon, but yeah.
Yeah, is he a Mormon? I have no idea what that dude is all about.
Yeah.
But, you know, so going back to a comment that you made about how, you know, Christians at their workplace that are, that wear the badge, we're told, hey, don't talk about Christ, don't talk about Christianity, don't talk about prayer. But then if you're a, if you're a Muslim, if you're anything else but that, right? If you're in the alphabet community, you can, you know, display yourself in workplace, but Christians are stifled. Obviously because there's truth and they're convicted. But there are Christians that will say, oh, okay, I won't say anything. But yet you've got other religions behind the badge that open their mouth and they don't get trouble, they don't get you know, docked pay. You know, it's the Christians that are standing up for their rights, and then, you know, you're not given overtime, someone else is selected to promote, and I think we briefly talked about, you know, leadership. It was King David who trained his men that were discontent, that was in debt, how to fight with the left hand and right hand, right? David was that ideal warrior poet, so to speak. He knew how to fight, and he knew how to be a musician, and he had that balance. And I think in these crazy times, like, are you going to stand up for Jesus Christ? If I'm not mistaken, doesn't the Bible says that if we deny Jesus Christ before men, he will deny us before the Father? Oof. You know, and I don't know, you know, in these crazy times, and I'm in agreement with you. We are living in, you know, biblical days of things are falling into place, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talking about storms, there's been floodings worldwide everywhere. Earthquakes. I know you're into earthquakes. Earthquakes have been everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, all right, what can destroy food? Storms, earthquakes, crops could be taken out. I mean, all those farm fields out in Florida, just gone. Matter of seconds. Mm-hmm. Gone. Right? You know, yeah. Not to speak about weird explosions in the Baltic Sea.
Oh, but, my gosh. No, let's hit on that real quick, because that part's interesting. And I think a little side note's okay here.
It is our podcast.
If you folks haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the Baltics, you better check out the news, because the world's at war. And we may not be seeing the physical effects of it yet, but the world's at war. And the fact that Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 were both sabotaged recently. What, 2 days ago? I think.
Monday? Was it Monday? I don't know.
Was it Monday
or Tuesday?
Either way,
I can tell you.
That was the only fuel source from... that was the fuel source for natural gas from Russia to Europe, right? And now, who do you think they're turning to? Because Europe does not have energy. That was 40% of the energy for Germany, I believe. Now they're turning to Israel. Israel is sitting on the world's largest natural gas reserve. So they bring up this natural gas, they ship it off to Egypt. Egypt turns it into liquid, and Egypt sends it off to Europe. But that's not going to last real long. Before too long, Israel's going to, there's a, only a couple year agreement with Egypt. Israel's going to do it all themselves, and it's going to be a one-stop shop for Europe. Russia's not going to like that. And according to Ezekiel 38, Russia's going to try and do something about it. So mm-hmm. That's something to pay attention to.
Yeah. That's a whole another podcast, but
mm-hmm.
folks, if you're kind of iffy with your walk with the Lord, something that you have, if you're a believer, but you're not into prophecy, you need to start reading up on prophecy, because if I'm not mistaken, a third of the Bible is on prophecy, and mm-hmm. you know, Russia, Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39, and all this stuff in the book of Revelation. We are living in exciting times because God can take us at any moment, right? And like, you know, us here in the United States, we don't think, it's the Baltic Sea. What does that have to do with us? It has a lot to do with us because of investments and people that the different players that are involved. But like you just briefly mentioned, Israel, remember, was a desolate land at one point until the Jews came and became one of, if not at the time, the biggest exporter of fruits and vegetables, right? And the Palestinians of old, I would say, they're like, oh, it's a desolate land. Egyptians, psh, there's nothing there. Israel takes over. Hello. Right? And they're sitting on huge amounts of resources. Right? And you briefly mentioned it. The big bear.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna want what they want. Right? And I think Putin is the type of guy to be like, all right, let's go get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep, a lot of strange stuff going on with Russia anyway, so it's all heading that direction. But anyway, I figured we'd take a little,
deeper there. Yeah, well, just to add to, you know, being courageous. And this is for, you know, obviously a Thin Line Believers podcast, so everybody behind the badge, right? And I'm sure you've been in those firefights where you see a partner. Hey, they got the uniform on. They got the badge. They got the patches on, right? They're like, yeah, I'm a copper. I'm a firefighter. But when rubber meets the road and you got to pull out your gun and actually maybe even pull the trigger, and you look at your partner and you see fear in their eyes, right? You know, you're like, I don't want you to have my six. You're more of a danger to me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I had that experience as a firefighter. I was a newbie. Single structure family fire. I'm like, woohoo, let's go. You know? And I'm like, let's go. And then as soon as me and this firefighter went in, I saw his breathing. Now, you don't have to be a firefighter to realize that you need to control your breathing in a fire because you only have so much air in your SCBA.
Mm-hmm.
And as a trainer, when I looked at my his senior firefighter, I saw him hyperventilating in his mask. And I was like, hey, this is the senior firefighter. He's supposed to be looking after me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I realized I had to stop the advance. And I was like, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine, I'm fine. I think he was faced with that reality. Like, he's actually afraid of fires. You know, and so I radioed my captain. I was like, hey, can you send so-and-so in and then grab this firefighter and get him out? You know, now, obviously, afterwards, I had to do a sit-down and review and all this stuff. But I want to encourage those Christians that are like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I like to wear my Christian shirt and stuff like that. But when you come to a firefight and you don't have any ammo to bring back with you, don't endanger other Christians. You know, now that I'm in full-time ministry and I'm in the pulpit every Sunday, I realize there's a lot of pastors out there that they're pastors in name, but not necessarily, you know, shepherds that are going to stand up for the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've said it. I'm like, there's a lot of pastors that are a bunch of wusses. you know. And I've been called all kinds of things, but I've been told by other pastors, oh, you shouldn't talk about politics in the pulpit. You know, you shouldn't talk about elections in the pulpits, you know. And I was just like, where did you find this in the Bible? I mean, our country was founded upon the principles of the Bible. And I'm not going to go into that. I'll let, you know, wall builders, Dave Barton and, you know, Bill Federer talk about that stuff. But my thing is, it's like, when I said that comment, I had my pastor's friends, some of them reach out to me. They're like, hey, dude, really? You're calling me a wuss? I was like, well, I'm not, I didn't name you directly and called you a wuss, but I'm like, if you're going to shut your church down.
Well.
Well, yeah, you know, but you get what I'm saying. You've been in firefights probably more than I have, you know, because you are living in Oregon, but there's that hesitation. You know, when you've been there, you can see it. When you sense that fear, you know, and I can't imagine the men and women that were actually in warfare, like the Gulf War and the Vietnam War, the Korean War and all that, where, you know, like you see the guys like in Band of Brothers. You see almost every character in Christianity in that program.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And in these last days, man, we need men and women that are like, dude, let's tighten our belt. Let's go for the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to encourage believers, especially behind the badge. I'm like, arm yourself up with the word of God. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that when you do go out in uniform, fire, patrol car, whatever, that you're going to expect the fiery darts of the enemy. And it should be because the Bible says so.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like that, you know, when there's a brand new cop, they go through the academy, they show up for their first week and the uniform's fully, it's like brand new. There's like, it's, you know, there's no patina to it, right? And my thing is, there's a lot of Christians that have been calling themselves Christians for many, 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 many years that have not faced battle. And going back to what the Lord put on your heart on the parable of the sower, it's like that the psalmist just said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, right? Blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? For a tree to be next to the water, to be standing, that means the tree roots have to be deeply, deeply embedded into the soil, or it's going to get washed away. And
mm-hmm.
I want to encourage the body, especially, you know, officers and firefighters, armor up in these last days. Armor up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I'm running out of coffee here, my friend.
By way of a little encouragement here, so let's see. Michael, do these names sound familiar to you? Shamua, Shaphat. I'm going to skip that one because that one's too obvious. Igal, Hoshea, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sethur, Nabi, Gul. Any of those ring a bell to you?
They sound familiar. Can you clarify for me?
Well, it's not a surprise that you don't really remember them, because those were the guys, those were the spies that went into Canaan and came back and said, oh, we can't go in there. It's full of giants.
Mm.
We're like grasshoppers to them. We can't defeat them. But the two names that we would remember are Caleb and Joshua, right? Because those are the guys that had faith and they had courage. In fact, I love how I think it's at the end of Joshua when Caleb is given his allotment of land, right? And it said that Caleb, in his old age, he chose a land that he had to go in and fight. Like, he wasn't done yet. And he's ancient by this point. And that man is still a fighter, man. That is the kind of person that God is looking for. He's looking for somebody with the heart of Caleb, the heart of Joshua, the heart of David. Mm. And in today's day and age, if you have even a little bit of courage, oh, man, you are going to stand out like a sore thumb. You know, like my friend that I met, that I talked about from that unnamed agency. That's a man of courage. You know, he approached me and he's like, hey, brother of faith, you know, and you know, he's got all these other brothers of faith in his department, but so many of them are coming up to him after the fact, like, oh, hey, I'm a Christian too. You know, like, what are you afraid of? We serve the creator of the whole universe. The Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? So what are we afraid of? So I guess that's my encouragement for you today is there's nothing to fear. You know, I know it was said that, you know, by early on in our founding, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, that's true. That's true. The Bible says fear God. And I believe if we don't fear God, well, man, we will fear everything else. So. That's what I got, Mike.
I think we'll leave it at that. I think that's a good spot.
Cool. Pray us out, Pastor.
Lord, when we face hot times, hot waters, and we're squeezed, Lord, may it be that you would exude in our lives, Lord. And in these last days, may we be those that can stand before you, and we could receive that saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to stand strong and be courageous, Lord. And Lord, give us that unction. Give us that reminder where, Lord, we could be that soldier for you, God, in uniform, to stand firm and stand strong in these crazy times. And so, Lord, strengthen us, be glorified in us. Use the Inline Believers podcasts for your purpose and for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Hey, by way of closing, if you guys haven't been checking out our daily verses, it's been kind of fun. They're going up on Instagram and YouTube for now. So give that a listen. Check out the comments. Some people are kind of interesting on there.
And yeah, you need to link it up to Facebook so it'll go on both platforms.
I think it might be.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe I'm putting it on the wrong account. I don't know. I'll figure it out. We'll get it hooked up. Check out Michael's too. The Real Mike John, is that what it is?
Something like that.
Something like that. Mike's got
another Mike John that stole my name.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, fine. Southwest Calvary will get you the same thing. So.
Yeah.
All right, folks. God bless. See you next time.